Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, One Take Wednesday. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible and in the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 7, starting in verse 53, and then we'll go to chapter 8 and read through verse 11. Then we'll move over to the Proverbs, and we're in Proverbs chapter 16 today, and we'll read the first 9 verses. It is interesting, this passage that I'm going to read today is the passage of Jesus forgiving the adulterous woman. And this passage is not in the oldest, most original manuscripts that we have of the Gospels. And so for this reason, many commentators caution against preaching this text or using it as kind of a teaching model, but I'm so drawn to it because the substance in the story, or the point in the story, is the character of Jesus. And we see this elsewhere displayed in the Gospel of John and in the other Gospels, that Jesus is tender with the sinner, that he is not condemning, yet he is calling us to repentance and to salvation. It's a very interesting story. I've also always wondered, what is Jesus drawing in the sand? Is he just simply ignoring the men who are condemning this woman? Or is he writing out their sins or perhaps the Ten Commandments? I don't know. The early church found the value of this story so great that they inserted it at various points in the scripture to ensure its continuing survival. And so today, as we read, we just need to be aware of that fact. That's why in your copy of scripture, it might be in brackets. But I pray that the Lord would continue to use this story in our lives today in a great way. Starting in chapter 7, verse 53, everyone went to his home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and he began to teach. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have some grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and he said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." I wanted to read one of the Bible study notes that was in my copy of scripture here about verses 3 through 6. It says, "The Jewish leaders had already disregarded the law by arresting the woman without the man." When I was reading, I thought, yeah, where's the man? If she was caught in the act, where's he? It says, "The law required that both parties to adultery be stoned." That's in Leviticus 20. Verse 10 or Deuteronomy 22 and 22. Now, those scriptures do provide for the stoning if someone is caught in adultery, but we never have record of that law being carried out because the only one who is able to really give that just punishment is someone who has never sinned. And that would be Jesus. Okay, I'm going to keep reading. "The leaders were using the woman as a trap so that they could trick Jesus. If Jesus said the woman should not be stoned, they would accuse him of violating Moses' law. If he urged them to execute her, they would report him to the Romans, who did not permit the Jews to carry out their own executions." They are just trying to trick Jesus any way that they can. And that's another reason that this story fits in this section of scripture, because yesterday we read about the religious leaders attempting to arrest Jesus. And tomorrow in the reading, we will also learn about the fact that, maybe it's not tomorrow, but soon we'll read again about them trying to catch Jesus in his words. All right, let's move on over to the Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 16 today, and the title in this section of scripture is the contrast between the upright and the wicked. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Verse 6 sticks out to me because I think Jesus displayed this for us in the gospel today. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. I think said otherwise, it's love covers a multitude of sins. And it's not that Jesus covered the woman's sins and said, oh, she didn't commit adultery. No, he came about it in a way that was understanding and was welcoming and ready to forgive. And he feels that same way about us. And he asks us as his disciples to be a people who gently restore our brothers and sisters. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the story of the woman caught in adultery. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to help us to be a people who don't seek ill for others, that don't want to stone others, so to speak, but rather we recognize that we are great sinners. And because we have been forgiven much, we should be a people who forgive others much. It's hard, Lord, and we just pray for your help. And we pray according to the Proverbs, Lord, remembering that we can make our plans, but you are the one who is sovereign in the end. Your way is going to come to pass. And you know our hearts. You know our motives. And so, Lord, we want to commit our work to you again and again, Lord, not to take it back, not to be someone who seeks self. Help us to seek you. Lord, help us not to be proud in our hearts, but by loving kindness and truth to cover a multitude of sins. Lord, help us continually, as it speaks of in all these Proverbs, to fear you, to reverence you, to be reminded that your ways and your mind are what we seek. Direct our steps today, we pray, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters, wherever they are, whatever they're encountering in work today, if it is a difficult task, be near to them, for their families and friend groups, for those who need a special healing touch. Lord, we pray that you would be active and at work in those places. And for our church, Lord, we pray a covering over us, especially the construction workers who are working on the renovation project. Lord, be with them. Draw them as they come into this sacred space. Draw them into your life and your lordship. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.